This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Denmark gets 40% of its power from wind, but it wants more. To do that, though, it's going to have to shake up the traditional relationship between electricity supply and demand. And as Stephanie Joyce reports, Danes are looking to a tiny island in the middle of the Baltic Sea for a little bit of guidance.
The grid control room at Østkraft on the Danish island of Bornholm is a mix of old and new. On one side of the room, huge computer monitors detail the flow of electricity throughout the system. On the other, printed circuit diagrams hang on 60s-era control boards with dancing needles. Jamming to early 90s dance music, engineer Eric Malmquist lounges at a desk, wearing a gray jumpsuit and thick eyeglasses. He's in charge of keeping the grid in balance.
You're here sitting at this desk all day. What do you do?
As little as possible.
As little as possible, and he's not joking. He explains that the utility profits when he does very little.
When I have to do anything, it costs us money. So I do as little as possible.
But doing as little as possible has gotten more difficult in recent years, as Bornholm has stepped up its share of renewable energy. It's much easier to balance a system that relies on coal than on fluctuating power sources like wind and solar. Malmquist grabs a graph, printing out of one of the analog machines on the wall.
You can see here. You can see the wind, and then suddenly it goes up and down all the time.
Bornholm gets half its power from wind and solar. But of course, that power supply is intermittent and doesn't always match the times of day when people are using the most electricity. Malmquist grabs another printout.
All days are look alike. You can see people get up in the morning about 5:30, and then they go to eat, and then they don't do anymore.
Right now, when demand spikes and the wind isn't blowing, utilities like Østkraft ramp up production at their coal or gas plants. But Denmark is planning to be fossil fuel free in its power sector by 2030, which means soon that won't be an option. So instead of making supply meet demand, Østkraft is testing what it would take to make demand meet supply.
Demand response have nothing at all to do with energy savings. It has to do with using the energy when it's there.
That's Maya Benson. She also works for Østkraft, which is testing so-called demand response with roughly 2,000 households on Bornholm. Benson says she actually learned about the idea as a kid. Her family had a wind turbine, and when the wind was blowing hard,
we turned up all the radiator valves. Because it was windy, the wind turbine was spinning anyway. The energy was free and abundant.
The idea behind the project is the same. Use electricity when there's plenty of cheap, renewable power, and cut back when there isn't. It targets heating and cooling, which are the biggest electricity users. But unlike when Benson was a kid, the project automates it, so no one has to run around opening and closing radiator valves.
As a participant in the project, you say, which temperature do I want?
And the utility controls your heating to keep your house in that range. That allows the utility to temporarily shut off hundreds or thousands of heaters or air conditioners and keep the electricity grid in balance without having power plants on standby. Jürgen Christensen is the chief technology officer of Dansk Energi, the Danish Energy Association. He says it will be too costly to reach the country's renewable energy goals without demand response.
We are over-investing because we're not utilizing the energy that we produce in a smart way.
But even in Denmark, it's not easy to convince customers that there are benefits to allowing someone else to control their heating.
If it's totally new for you, you will say, well, let's wait and see what the neighbors does.
So if automating demand response is the cheapest option for making renewables work, can it happen elsewhere? In the United States, there are residential demand response projects, but none of them use automation, which limits the benefits to the overall grid. But start talking about controlling people's heating systems in a fiercely independent place like the U.S., and, well, you can imagine how that conversation would go. I'm Stephanie Joyce for Marketplace.
Stephanie's story came to us from the public media collaboration Inside Energy.